Do I have permission to be vulnerable with you guys? Good, good. Whole homily kind of wrote on that. No. The reality is this. I had a homily prepared. And then when I was praying this morning, God said, yeah, you're going to change it. I'm like, great, great. The reason why is because to understand mercy in its very depths, we need to understand something that we do not like talking about: misery. This is where the vulnerability comes in. Most people will know a priest because they see him on Sunday or maybe the daily masses, maybe go to him for confession, sometimes inviting him into their home to bless their home, or even anointing their family members. By and large, that's the most experience people get of a priest. What you do not get to see is a priestly heart. You may get glimpses of it, but you don't get to really experience it. Especially when it comes to this. A priestly misery. Now, when I say that, no, I'm not sad. But what I am saying is that there is an area of every priest's heart that you do not have access to. Just like there's an area of spouses' hearts that I do not have access to. But sometimes that veil can be lifted a little bit. The sufferings of a priest are manifold. But I think primarily the sufferings that a priest experiences is that of deep loneliness. And I think we all can understand that loneliness. Spouses experience it in a different way, but there is something unique about the priestly loneliness. Namely, think about this. After a long day of work, a priest will go back to the rectory, maybe see his brother priests, maybe not, go back into his room, and that's it. He goes back to a cold rectory. Most people will go back to a home, chaotic though it may be, but a priest lives out the same thing that the Lord lives out, namely, he has nowhere to call his home. Now, trust me, this is going to fit into divine mercy, trust me, but that whole idea, there is no place to call home, for me has hit a little more deeply. As of late, you guys know, I'm going to be finishing up my time here in June. So the wound that I had when I left my first parish is just violently ripped open again. And as I went to prayer this morning, the Lord was asking me to surrender everyone back into his sacred heart. Because the reality is, Father Tom will say this, Father Madu will say this, Father Frankie would say this, Father Gabe would say this, and I will say it. You are not ours. You're the Lord's. We have the honor of having custodianship over you and of ministering to you, but you do not belong to us. So when our ministry is complete, we must surrender you back. And that is a painful experience. Because relationships actually mean something. So the reality is, I have a choice when I'm in that midst of loneliness. I can remain there, and then I become a sitting duck for the enemy, and I can allow myself to fall into sloth, envy, pride, however any many sins you can count, I can fall headlong into each and every one of them. Or I can bring that misery to the Lord. And herein lies mercy. If you guys don't know the Latin word for mercy, it is misericordia. Misericordia is made up of three words in Latin. misericordare, the heart which is given to the miserable. You see, you cannot have mercy unless you are miserable. And what is the most profound misery? That we're all going to die. Yep, we're all going to die. And the fact goes even further than that. Not only are we all going to die, but before our Lord came, we had no hope of resurrection. So what do we do with this? We bring that to the heart of God. Because even our Lord, who had nothing at the end of his life, remember, he went so many times into the desert to be alone in prayer, where there was no one around. He was a traveling preacher. He had but one tunic. And even upon the cross, he died the most poor man because he sacrificed even the relationship with his mother and gave her to St. John. Our Lord knows loneliness. And upon the cross, he lived it out. This is why I talked about the priestly loneliness, because the priestly loneliness is the loneliness of the cross. But upon the cross, the Lord said something amazing. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? Not that he was forsaken by the Father, but that he allowed himself to go to the very depths of feeling that forsakenness, so that way we could go through Christ and express that to the Father. Mercy makes you go down to the depths of human misery. That's what it does. So we can choose to stay in our loneliness, our brokenness, our misery, or we can go to the heart of Christ. And therein lies where divine mercy is seated. Why? From his heart flowed blood and water, and the Spirit testifies. Water symbolizes baptism. Blood symbolizes the Eucharist. The Spirit is he who convicts us to seek refuge in that pierced and sacred heart. If we fall away from our baptism, which we do time and time again, that's why we have confession, the Spirit convicts us to restore that relationship. And he draws us back underneath that saving stream, allowing our sins to be the lance that pierces his heart again. So that way we can receive his blood through Holy Communion once more. You see, most of us feel like our misery utterly, completely, and 100% separate from the love. But as St. Paul would say, nothing separates us from the love of God. Not death, not famine, not the sword. Not your puny little sins or mine. Not our gravest misery. So we have a choice before us today with divine mercy. We can be vulnerable, which means the ability to be wounded, which means that we drop the guard. Or we can be satisfied by allowing ourselves to remain in our misery. And we're experts at this. We, you and me. How? Because we give ourselves to a false counterfeit love. We adore screens, TV, computer, phones, way more than we adore the Eucharistic Lord. And we do not engage with our misery. We do not engage with that which is the very fundamental reason why mercy exists. And therefore we become blind. We fall away. We do not care. We're experts at this, guys. Or the vulnerability can allow ourselves to identify and sacrifice. How many times have I told you guys, take that which is the most despicable thing that you could imagine and put it upon the altar? Why? Because that is your sacrifice. That is your participation in the Mass. The Father wants to see it. The Father wants to receive it. The Father wants your most broken part and to be brought and nailed to the cross so that way it can flow into mercy. But we do not want to go there because it hurts and it's scary. If we do not take a risk, we're not going to get anywhere. We need to be like Thomas. Unless I see his the marks of his hands and put my fingers into the nail marks and put my hand into his side, I refuse to believe. I want to see his mercy. And our Lord responds. Yes, he chides. Yes, he rebuffs Thomas a little bit. But he does not discredit him. That is the call today. Divine mercy is more than just a chaplet. Divine mercy is more than just the Diary of Divine Mercy that St. Faustina wrote, that big old thick volume. Divine mercy is the courage and the bravery to let yourselves be miserable in his presence and let him minister to you. If you're unwilling to do that, you are a slave of sloth, a slave of envy, a slave of pride, or the whole host of sins. Why? Because you believe that God would not receive it. Heresy lies from the very bowels of hell. And I refuse to let you be there. But if you're brave enough, if you're courageous enough, if you're bold enough, and I know you are, today must be different. Today, whatever it is that is on your heart, that you have refused to share with Jesus Christ, it is time right now to throw off the shackles, stop being slaves, and start being sons and daughters. It is time to let him in. As St. Faustina once said, after she made perpetual vows, Lord, I've given you everything. No, you haven't. I'm sorry, were you there? I promised lifelong chastity, lifelong poverty, lifelong obedience. I don't have anything else. Yes, you do. Your sins, your misery, give it to me. That is the thing that is uniquely yours. Until we go there, we're not Christian. Until we go there, we're not believers of Christ. Until we go there, we're on a rat wheel of Pelagianism and sloth. When we go there, everything changes. Praised be Jesus Christ.